This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you ideas for living a happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative life. This week, we'll talk about how to be on time, and we'll return to one of our favorite themes, why you should treat yourself. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. It's always a treat for me to talk to her.
Aw, thanks, Gretch.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and I am almost always on time. We'll get into that later.
We'll get into that, yes. Now, Elizabeth, one of the things we recently introduced this new segment, which was your idea, which I love, which is the happiness hack. And I revealed my happiness hack, which was a toilet paper stand, perhaps revealing the somewhat shallow nature of my happiness. And I was so excited about it. And we have heard from a lot of people, A, who have happiness hacks related to toilet paper, and then also just more generally on happiness hacks.
Yeah, and we'll, as time goes on, we'll be revealing some other people's happiness hacks because we've heard some great ones. But on the subject of the toilet paper holder, we heard from one listener, Megan in Madison, who informed us there's such a thing as tubeless toilet paper, which you can put onto these toilet paper stands and not even have that cardboard tube to get rid of.
Yep. Yep. Who knew? Who knew? It's a little hack. So anyway, keep them coming. We love the happiness hacks.
Got some interesting photos, too, Greg.
I know we did. So listen, this week, our Try This at Home is to be on time.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like people are either on time or late in their lives.
Yes.
You know, it's usually you stick to that, whatever it is. Now, I know in my little household, we have a lot of conflict over this because I am on time. Our family, I should say, is always on time.
Yes.
I mean, that is, you know, that is just something we were raised being completely on time to all events.
Yeah.
And like Adam's family, it's not as big of a deal. And for Adam in particular, he really, being on time is just not something that's at the top of his priority list. And so we have a lot of conflict over this. Regardless of that, you can judge it, you know, if it's good to be on time or bad to be on time. But if we could all agree for the sake of this segment that one wants to be on time, what are some of the things that you could do?
Yeah, because some people, it's not, it doesn't bother them, but some people really want to be more on time. And so they're looking for ideas. And I remember we got an email from Bethany in Southern California, and she was saying, like, I'm chronically late and I want some strategies and tips about what do you do to help that. And it's interesting because you really have to begin by saying, like, why are you late? Because people have different reasons for being late. And one of them is if people kind of they're late starting out their day because they're so exhausted. And that's often because you're staying up too late. So you're exhausted. So you hit the snooze alarm. You sleep until the last possible minute. And then the whole morning is kind of this sprint. And then if you, like, can't find your keys or you leave something behind, then you're running late for the whole day.
That goes back to our guest, Arianna Huffington, we had recently in the sleep revolution.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are trying to get one last thing done. I think this is very common.
Yes,
it's like, oh, let me just load the dishwasher before I leave.
Yeah.
Or, oh, let me just...
fire off that email.
Yes. And it's like that one last thing that puts them over the edge into lateness.
Yeah, because often things take longer than you think. Like you write an email and then you're like, oh, but I just need to look up this one thing. Or like, oh, wait, I just got another email, so I'm going to quickly read that. And then what you think is going to take 30 seconds ends up taking much longer. But so here's an interesting thing, because you're right, it is very common that people will try to do, like, they want to be efficient. And so what, if that's your issue, what can work is to think about something you're going to do on the other end. Like you're like, when I get there, I'm going to read that pamphlet. Or when I get that, I'm going to review that document. And so that you have this idea of like, I need to get out the door so I can get where I'm going and then be efficient there, instead of trying to cram your efficiency into the place where you are right now. So you make it something that's pulling you towards where you're going.
I think that's a great suggestion, because I think a lot of times people, well, fear being early.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I think there's anxiety about being somewhere early, sort of not knowing what to do with yourself or where to sit. And so I think if you have in your mind, well, I'm going to sit in the lobby of this office building and read, this document. Then you might feel like, okay, like you're saying, it's good to get there and do that, as opposed to, I don't want to get there early and be at loose ends.
But that's interesting about, because now that you say that, it makes perfect sense that some people are anxious about being early, whereas I'm very anxious about being late. And sort of Jamie's the same way. We're both kind of pathologically early. Like, even if we try to be kind of politely late, we'll often end up places on time, because we just have this fear of being late. But some people don't want to be early.
Yeah, I know for me, if I'm late somewhere, it sets off my entire experience there. It's very hard for me to recover.
Yes.
You know, I'm so discombobulated. Whereas I think for other people who have maybe some social anxiety, when you get somewhere early, you can, like, you have a building pressure to the event.
Yes.
And so they're the opposite.
Yes.
You know, so it's tricky.
Yeah. Another thing is that that's very common is people underestimate the commute time. So they might kind of in their mind, they're like, well, it'll take 20 minutes to get there. Well, that's 20 minutes best case scenario.
Right.
Instead of saying like, well, how often do I get the best case scenario? How often is it that the subway's delayed? Well, pretty often, you know.
Yeah. That's classic Adam. Mm. I mean, I have to throw him under the bus on this. He is someone who assumes all things will go right in terms of him getting somewhere. And so he has missed meetings before because, you know, it's been bad traffic and he's gotten somewhere too late and the person's already in their next meeting.
Oh.
He has missed a flight. You know, because he thinks, well, you know, best case scenario, I'll get there in 20 minutes.
Well, how long can it take?
It's going to be 45, and you know it's usually 45, not 20.
And it's like, how long could it take to go through security?
Yes,
like, oh,
exactly.
Well. But this is what's interesting. So you and I both go to Inform Fitness, this like high intensity strength training. And the person who trained, and so they do, like, they have scheduled appointments like every 30 minutes all day long. And one of the trainers was observing to me that the funny thing for them is that the people who are on time are always on time. And the people who are late are always late. And the people who are late always have a reason that they feel like, well, of course I'm late because you wouldn't believe the traffic or the weather's terrible. But they said the funny thing is the people who are on time are always on time anyway.
Like, regardless of traffic or weather.
Right.
Yes.
And so I thought that was funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure there are other tricks out there for being on time. There's the old setting your watch, you know.
5 minutes early.
5 minutes ahead, I guess it is.
Yeah.
So let us know if you have tricks for being on time, and we can share those with listeners.
Especially if it's a trick that you can use on someone else to get someone else to be on time.
Yes, I quite often employ the, it starts at 4:30 and it really starts at 5.
Ooh. Get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, email us at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or go to happiercast.com/68 for images, links, anything related to this episode.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. So, Elizabeth, we're marching through the 21 strategies of habit change.
Yeah, Gretchen. Now, these are from your book, Better Than Before. And might I just say, if anyone out there hasn't read your book, they should, because it will make you change your habits. Don't read it unless you really want to change your habits, because she will get to you and make you change your habits. But anyway, enough about that. Today's Better Than Before habit strategy, Gretch, is the strategy of treats.
Yeah. Now, we talked about this strategy all the way back in episode 9 as a try this at home, treat yourself, with that excellent clip from Parks and Rec, treat yourself. But because we're doing the complete set of the 21 strategies, and because it's such a fun topic, we're hitting it again in sequence. And the thing about treats is that when we load ourselves with healthy treats, we're better able to use our self-mastery. And when we give more to ourselves, we can ask more from ourselves. So if you're trying to get yourself to stick to a good habit, or you're just trying to behave yourself generally, it's really good to load yourself with healthy treats.
Yeah. So healthy treats are what? I guess things that don't cost a lot and don't have a lot of calories and don't hurt anybody.
Right. Well, yeah. So exactly what you want to do is think of treats where you don't want to do something to make yourself feel better by giving yourself a treat that's in the end going to make you feel worse, because
right.
you're going to be filled with regret or remorse or, you know, whatever. So you want to think about, well, what's something that I can do that's going to give me that feeling of energy and being cared for that's not going to make me feel bad in the long run? Now, some of the unhealthy treats are like food and drink, shopping, and screen time. They can be healthy treats for some people, but for a lot of people, they become unhealthy treats. So, but as adults, we should really try to have a lot of ideas for healthy treats.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, a lot of, screen time for sure counts as some of my treats, like watching The Real Housewives and things like that. But I also think like Us Magazine.
I
don't know if you'd call that healthy. I don't think it's unhealthy.
No.
Maybe it's neutral.
Sure. No, it's a healthy treat.
Sunday crossword puzzle.
Oh, good treat.
So, you know, I love on Sunday getting back into bed with the crossword puzzle and coffee.
Oh.
And that's like a great Sunday morning treat.
That's a great treat.
And my new one, Gretch, my new treat is listening to podcasts in bed.
Oh.
Because Adam and I usually have a TV in our room, but because we're staying in our guest room now, we don't have a TV in there. And so I've started listening to podcasts in bed, and I love it.
Oh. Those are great ideas for healthy treats. A lot of my healthy treats are about smells. Like, I love good smells. And I'm going to light a scented candle. I used to make fun of scented candles. Now I'm like firing them up left and right. I literally will stop to smell the flowers. Like, if I see there's this flower store by our house, and like sometimes they'll have a gardenia bush out there, and I will be like, I'm going to stop and smell this gardenia, because I love, love, love the smell of gardenias. But one of the things to point out about treats is a lot of times people confuse them with rewards.
Oh, right. We talked about
that. Yeah. And it's a really important point to say again, because a reward is something that you deserve or you earn. So when somebody says something like, I always give myself a treat after I go for a run, that is a reward, because you're saying, because I ran,
right.
I get this thing. And a treat, you don't have to earn. It's just you get it because you want it. You're like, I just want to get in bed with a crossword puzzle. I don't have to be good. I don't have to get a gold star
right.
to do that. I just get to climb into bed with that crossword puzzle. And that is more comforting to us, because it's like, I just get it because I want it. I don't have to be deserving of it. And so it makes it more energizing.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, a hot bath is like a number one treat.
See, and for me, that's not a treat at all.
Right. Yeah, and it's not for me either. I don't crave baths, but I know a lot of people do.
Yes, yeah. So that's the thing you have to say to yourself. What is a treat for you? You can't just like have somebody hand you a list. Like I have a treat. One of my treats is hot hard-boiled eggs. I love eating hard-boiled eggs when they're, you know, because I'm obsessed with my hard-boiled egg maker. And like if I get them while they're, I love the smell of them, of the shells. And then if I eat them, I love them hot. That is a treat for me. But I know that is not a treat for you.
No, that I'm making a face right now. That sounds so hot, hard. I love cold hard-boiled eggs. Hot hard-boiled eggs sounds disgusting to me. Oh, Gretch, you know what another treat, which will not surprise you, but you'll think is ridiculous, is I've been ordering mugs because I'm kind
more
of
mugs?
Collecting some different kind of plates, new plates. And there's mugs that go with them.
You and your mugs.
Even though I have so many mugs, I'm now buying a whole new set of matching mugs, which I've never had before. From time to time, like I order them just from time to time.
Well, so once you have your matching mugs, are you going to get rid of your obliger mug now that we have our special new series of mugs?
No, that's very special. I will never get rid of my obliger mug.
Yes, that's right. We all have to have our tendency mugs. Well, that's great. I would love to hear what people do to treat themselves because it's so, you know what a treat that a lot of people have is ironing. Who would have thought? I've heard from so many people who love to iron. So let us know if you have any great treats because I think it's really helpful for adults to have a lot of cool ideas for healthy, interesting, good treats.
Okay, Gretch, it is time for a listener question. And let me remind everybody of our number because we love getting voicemails. We love getting emails, but we like voicemails even better. So our number is 774-277-9336 or easier to remember, 77-HAPPY-336. This week's question comes from Ashley.
Hi, Liz and Gretchen. This is Ashley from Denver. My question is, I've taken the quiz and I come up as an obliger, which I think is accurate, but I must be an obliger with a serious rebellious streak because the habit that I want to change is to spend less and start budgeting. But thinking about external accountability is not working for me. I just don't want anyone to tell me what to do in this area. However, that's not working for me either. So, as far as sticking to a budget, saving money for a very, very rebellious obliger, I'm wondering what you have to say. Thanks.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this has to be one of the biggest topics out there, right? Budgeting and saving money.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's the essential seven of the like the big groups that habits fall into, and spending, saving, and earning wisely is definitely one of the top seven. But here's something that Ashley could try. The thing about accountability for obligers, because she's right, as an obliger, she needs that accountability. But as she also points out, obligers have a deep affinity with rebels, and they sometimes will have these kind of rebellious streaks where there's some aspect of expectations that they refuse to meet. She could be part of an accountability group where the idea is that everybody's holding each other accountable, but they don't really specifically say what it is. And if she feels private about it or she just like doesn't want them in her business or telling her what to do, it could be like, hey, Ashley, I know you were working on something. How's that going for you? So she feels like someone's saying is kind of checking in with her, but isn't directing her or bossing her because it sounds like she's getting a little bit of that resistance that rebels feel, but they're just showing like, well, I want to help you stick to your values for yourself and meet your own expectations for yourself. Are you doing that?
Now, let me ask you this question. Is this a case where a reward, I know you're usually against rewards. Is this a circumstance where it could be helpful? Like, okay, if I save $200, I can spend $50 on something that I really want. Or is that the absolute opposite of what she should be doing?
Well, the problem is if she really wants to do is to form habits of spending less and saving, the more you reward yourself, then you're undercutting that habit because you're setting up this like, if I do this, then I do that. And well, what if I, it's really better to remember that the reward that you want is the reward that comes from the good habit. The reward that she wants is financial security.
Right.
And like going out and spending $50 every time she saves right. $200 is not helping her get closer to financial security. And so often it's better to focus on the good feel, the reward that comes from the good feeling. I'm feeling in control of my budget. I don't feel guilty when I open up the credit card bill. I'm feeling like I'm paying down my student debt, and that's a good feeling. And like to really reinforce that. But if what she needs is accountability, it's like, how do you get that accountability without triggering that feeling of intrusiveness? And this is something that also comes up with obligers who are introverted. And they're like, well, the idea that I'm going to go into a room, like a Weight Watchers room, and everybody's going to hold me accountable, I can't stand the idea of like being in a room full of strangers. So they have to think about accountability in a way that works for the other parts of their personality. And on my site, on GretchenRubin.com, or you can just email me if you want it, I have a starter kit for people starting accountability groups. And maybe it would work for Ashley if she found a couple of people and it was like, okay, let's all just have our own thing that we're working on. And we're just going to check in on our progress. And not check in on now
the details.
Did you do this? Did you buy that latte? I thought you said you weren't going to go to Starbucks. You know, whatever it is. It's sort of like, are you sticking to your own goals for yourself?
And maybe she should also try your strategy of monitoring.
Yes.
Like not saying I have to save money, but just taking note of what she spends. Maybe it'll just naturally make her not buy a latte, you know, as opposed to sort of categorizing it so specifically.
100%. That is outstanding, because it's very true that with monitoring, we often behave better, even unconsciously. We just start moving in the right direction, even if we're not consciously trying to change. And if she's monitoring, and there's tons of apps that will help you monitor your spending, or you could just use a notebook or whatever. And then you sort of are, then you're confronting, like, is this really how I want to be spending my money, or do I want to be doing something else for myself? And so that's a great idea. And maybe that's a place to start, because then it also shows you, like, well, where are the opportunities for me to make the changes that are easy and that are like going to have the biggest payoff, like, you know. Monitoring is always an excellent place to start. So those are two things, different forms of accountability and monitoring.
So good luck, Ashley.
Yes, yes.
We wish you well in your saving.
Absolutely. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book, so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. Gretch, time for demerits and gold stars. You are up with a happiness demerit.
Yes. My daughter Eleanor, who is 11, is going away to a sleepaway camp this summer for the first time. And it's a camp no one's gone to before. And, you know, we got the packing list and I printed it out. And I even scheduled time to worry, because I was like, I don't want to worry about this prematurely. Mm-hmm. So it's like I put it on my calendar, you know, May 7th.
Start to worry.
And I pulled it out and it's like, because there's all these things that I don't really know what it means. Like, it's like one heavy blanket and one light blanket. I'm like, what constitutes, it's like the lawyer in me, definitionally, what is a light blanket? Yeah. What is a heavy blanket? I don't know. And then it's like if it says four sheets, does that mean a fitted sheet and a regular sheet, or four regular sheets? And then, like, so there's just all these things that I just am obsessing with. And so then I just put the packing list away. And then I look at it, I'm like, oh, I'll just deal with this another. And so it's gone through a couple cycles of like pulling it out, looking at it, and putting it down. And I think I need to officially put it on the power hour list and like schedule time to deal with this, because I keep thinking like, well, this is important and it's like not a big deal, and I'll just, this weekend I'll pull it out. And then I do pull it out, and then I manage to put it down again.
Now, let me ask, is there anyone you can email questions? You know, when you say four sheets, do you mean four full sets of sheets? Or, you know, is there somebody you can ask all the dumb questions?
Well, you know what? Now that you say that, actually, I have a friend. I had forgotten that her kids go there, but I just was reminded recently, and it hadn't occurred to me, but I could just email her and say, ask those questions, and also say, like, And is there any, and this is the other thing that's bothering me, like, are there like secret things like, oh, when they say sturdy or hiking shoes, they really mean running shoes are fine. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I will ask my friend to like walk me through the packing list and give me like the true lowdown on what these things mean. So excellent.
Right.
Yes.
So
I'm going to email her.
Go forth and pack for camp.
Yeah. it's the mommy Olympics. I feel like packing for camp. Oh, my gosh. Okay, take us up. Gold star, what is it?
Well, my gold star, surprisingly, is a technological gold star. I guess you would call it. It's for an app.
Okay.
Does that count as technology?
For us, yes, absolutely. Very advanced.
Okay, you know I'm just an idiot when it comes to any of this stuff. And in my life, it has come to pass that I need to scan many documents and upload them.
As one does.
And I, up till now, just no clue. I didn't even know what scanning meant. It was like when I first was being a temp in college and they told me to fax something. And I did not know what faxing was. So they handed me a document and I just threw it in the trash. Because I thought when you fax something, it went away. So I'm like, well, if I just get rid of this, they won't know that I didn't fax it. That's what an idiot I was. But anyway, people listening to this probably don't even know what faxing is now. But so I needed to scan some documents, and I was alone in the house. And normally I turn to someone and just play dumb, or not really play dumb. I just like, I can't do this. Yeah. Help me, help me, help me. For some reason, I went to the App Store and I downloaded iScanner, but there's a million of them. That's the one I happen to download. And I figured out how to scan a document, email it to myself, and then be able to upload it to a site. And it has totally changed my life because I feel so much more in control. Like, I don't feel like I constantly have to ask for help.
Right.
For scanning documents. I feel that I have the power to scan. So I'm very impressed with this app, which is really easy and makes sense, and I'm sure there's a million of them that do the same thing, and I really recommend it to anyone who, like, even Adam didn't. He's like, you got a scanner on your phone? What is this? I have no idea this existed. So, big gold star to that.
I have a scanner, but it's like a thing. It's like a machine that's in my office, and it's quite large.
No, this is, I think, as easy as it gets.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll show it to you.
And the thing about scanning is, like, then you can have backups of all these documents, like, if you need your
yes.
I have a friend who applied for an apartment, and she had everything with her. You know, apartments go in a flash in New York City, and she's, like, obsessed with scanning. And they were like, but we need your tax documents. She's like, bingo, we need a copy of your driver's license. Here you go. And here we need, like, your, you know, proof of identification. She's like, I've got a gas bill.
That's true. Yes, you can have a copy of your driver's license on hand at any moment. Anytime you need, starting a new job, you've got that ready to go.
Yeah. So Liz, what's the name of this app?
iScanner. So that's my gold star this week, goes to iScanner.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Be on time. Let us know if you tried these strategies and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Henry Malofsky. Also thanks to Andy Bowers and Laura Mayer of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes. And speaking of mugs, check out our Tendency mugs. We're so excited about them. People on Twitter have started putting up pictures of their mugs with their Tendency with them, which is so exciting. So I'll put the link to them in the show notes for episode 68. We're very excited about the mugs.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.